ask that you'd pray with us, O Lord, and bless His word. Bless it to every one of us. The Lord knows what we have need of and how we can get a hold of it. And if we're hungry, the Lord knows how to feed us. And so we're looking to the Lord this morning to bless His word. He surely is worthy. Written on the board, the words, using but not abusing. We'll explain more as we go along, but I'd like to begin in the book of Genesis. The 11th chapter of Genesis. The first verse, Genesis 11:1, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to and let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Want us to consider this set in a time period not that far removed from the time of the flood and the ark that had landed on a nearby mountain, and the people as they dispersed from there, first of all, right out of the ark, very thankful, very aware of their need of God, very aware of what the Lord had just done for them, having spared their lives and given them the opportunity of new life and the promise of a rainbow before them. Very aware of the Lord that had made them and that had saved and delivered them. But it didn't take very long for man to begin to go their own way, begin to forget about God and His ways. And we look at the situation here where man had become pretty far removed from God. And they began to think within themselves, let's do something here. Let's get together here. Let's build. And I want us to notice here as we consider the building of this tower. And the Lord, as He came down and wanted to behold and look upon the work of men's hands and consider it, the Lord was displeased with what He found. Was it the tower? Was it the building of blocks that the Lord was displeased with? Was it the understanding and the knowledge that man had of how to erect a building that the Lord was displeased with? I want us to start as we can begin considering the idea of using a thing but not abusing it. I want us to begin considering and getting a little bit of a hint here from the scriptures of what the Lord was displeased with. Now I want us, as we reread some of this, to take note of every time that it says I, we, us. They said one to another, go to, let us make brick, burn them thoroughly. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach into heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. You know, when you take God out of the equation, what's left is man. What an empty substitute. What a poor substitute for God. And yet man throughout time has tried over and over again to convince himself and herself that we don't need a God. That we're able of ourselves. We can make for ourselves a name. There's speculation or consideration that perhaps in the distance of their memory, they knew about the ark and the flood. They had heard the stories, no doubt. And perhaps that was part of what they were thinking in their minds. Let's go to and build a tower that'll reach up to the heavens, to the skies, where we can worship a being. We can worship however we see fit. And perhaps we're thinking that we can evade another flood should it come. Man without God is left a fool. Ecclesiastes, the 7th chapter, verse 29 says, that I beheld this, that God hath made man upright. God did nothing wrong. God didn't, as we look on the world around us and it's marked by sin and the curse of it and so much pain and so much suffering, and you look at the things even in the news yesterday of two mass shootings in our nation, and you look at that and think how terrible, how tragic, how awful, what's this world become? You know, it wasn't the blame of the Lord's. The Lord didn't make man deficient. The Lord didn't make man with some problem inside, but instead he made man with a will and with a choice. And with that, when man chose to partake of sin, chose to try to find their own way without God, it planted a seed within. And it planted the potential within to spring forth all kinds of fruit of that seed that was within. Mankind, as they began looking to themselves and their own intelligence and their own abilities, began to take God further and further out of the picture of their day-to-day lives. And so they came to this place, a place where I see our world largely in today, removing God further and further out of the picture, removing the stories of times past of our forefathers who feared God, who had respect unto God, removing those memories further and further into the distant past, saying instead we must be progressive. We must not look and hold on to the past. We must progress. We must move on to better things than what our forefathers had and what they knew. And so man began to build, and man today is still building their own ideas, their own philosophies, their own ways, looking and applauding their ways and themselves, saying, look how far we've come. Look how far we've progressed. Then you step back and look at it through, we might would say, common sense. Look at it through the eyes of what's normal, the Word of God. And you think, what a shame. We've progressed so far that we've forgotten that life is sacred. We've progressed so far that we've forgotten that a mother is to have a love for her offspring. We've progressed so far that we don't even know which restroom to go into as a society. That's how far we've progressed. How far we've come. This world today, without God. But I'm getting a little ahead of where I want to be at this point. Again, it was not the building of a tower that God was displeased with. It was not them saying, you know what, let's be in agreement together. Let's be in a harmony together. How I believe the Lord would have loved to hear that. Of them say, let us all be here and let's make the Lord a name. Let's glorify the name of the Lord together. Let's join together to worship the Lord and remind our children of His ways. It wasn't the intelligence that mankind had that the Lord was displeased with. We have in our world the philosophy of humanism, the philosophy of evolution, that says that mankind has evolved without the need of God. Mankind has evolved from a primordial soup of elements that have evolved and come together to form what we are today. And hand in hand with that idea and thinking says people of the past were just ignorant. The people of prehistoric times were like animals. They were dumb. They didn't know anything. But you know, that's not the place that these people were in. They had something that was imparted of God. They had the ability to reason, the ability to make decisions, the ability to determine and to contrive inventions and techniques and ways of going about things. Remember the scripture that I started to quote said, God hath made man upright. But man has sought out many inventions. Well, what's wrong with an invention? I don't believe the scripture is condemning inventions, but it's condemning the abuse of them. It's condemning, he's not condemning knowledge. He's not condemning understanding. For true knowledge and understanding comes and is imparted from God. That's not what the condemnation is on. It's on the abuse of that thing. Whenever I begin to remove God from it and exalt that in my own self, that is abusing what the Lord gave for us to use. What the Lord intended for us to use to His glory. Instead, the devil tries to take and abuse it for the furtherance of his cause. Using but not abusing. They sought out many inventions. They found by their understanding and the abuse of what the Lord had given them, they sought out many different ways, many different things to satisfy, to gratify, to take the place of what God said, I want to be this to you. Man instead began to seek out many different ways, many different things, many different gods and idols to fill the place of the one true God. Man's the one that sought out a golden calf. It wasn't the Lord. It wasn't the Lord that said, and there's nothing wrong with gold. The Lord made it. But it's the abuse of that that is harmful. There's nothing wrong with a calf, for the Lord made it. But it's the abuse of a thing that makes it harmful. Whenever they took and they began to contrive and invent unto themselves something that took their focus off of God and unto themselves and unto their own worship and their own humanism and their own ways and ideas, that was an abuse of what the Lord's plan was for them. And what a dark, long path that sent mankind down. Scripture says in Romans chapter 1, maybe it's worth looking at a little of this passage. Romans 1 and 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Who abuse what God has given. Who take that which is good and call it evil. And that which is evil and call it good. They take and abuse that which God has given. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has shewed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even the eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Folks, look around. Look around at our world today. Professing ourselves to have progressed so far, to have advanced as a society and as mankind and humankind, to have advanced so far. We can place a man on the moon and we can send a ship out to orbit the sun and one that's touched down on Mars and all of those things that to me amaze me. I don't think there's anything about touching down on the face of the moon that is displeasing to God. Indeed, whenever you read what was transmitted back of that original moon landing, they read in Genesis. They gave glory unto God. He's the only one that can make all of this possible. But man, when their foolish hearts become darkened, when they begin to abuse what God has given and turn it to their own foolish purposes, it leaves them in darkness. It leaves them in a place of foolishness that I can't even see anymore. I'm groping in darkness. And that which is darkness, I celebrate as great light and progress. I'm so thankful the Lord has a better way. The Lord has given knowledge and understanding. It says all of these things that were the invisible things of God, He wanted to show to us by all these things that are made, unique from the rest of the universe, this earth that God has given, custom tailored to support life. It's made for us to see it and glorify God. It's made for us to look at that colorful clownfish and say, wow, that surely couldn't have evolved. What an intelligent designer, and the way that all nature works together. The way that the ecosystem where it gives is to give glory to God. But whenever man's foolish hearts become darkened, man turns away from God in their own lives and in their own minds. There's nothing left to turn to but darkness. And man, professing themselves to be wise, becomes a fool. The Lord said in His assessment, whenever He came down, sent His angels perhaps to assess the situation there of the tower, He said, see now, nothing shall be restrained from them. You know, that's quite a statement that the Lord made. Go to, let us go down, there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech, because He had said, this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. There's got to be some boundaries here. He looking at that, at the thing that He Himself had imparted to mankind, the understanding, the intelligence that He from the creation had given to mankind. It's not like the world today says man evolved from some ignorant being that hid in caves and didn't even know anything about life and the world around them, and slowly evolved into more and more intelligence. That's the mankind's way of saying we've reached the pinnacle. Our understanding and our knowledge today far exceeds that of people in the past. But there are some things that man has struggled to explain. There are some structures that are believed to have been built thousands of years ago that man looking on them today, obelisk or towers that are in some cases over 100 feet tall, hewn out in perfect proportion out of solid bedrock and stood up as one piece in a tower that still stands today. And man looks at that, and even today they don't build towers like that. In little sections and pieces with tools and with processes that could never surely have been imagined back then. They didn't have the technology. They hadn't put that to, and yet somehow man in their understanding and in their knowledge had been able to do these things. The pyramids that they look at and they measure with lasers and all today and say it is stunning. The level of precision and accuracy in the building of these pyramids, that they say even in today's technology, we're not sure that we could do the same thing as what they did back then. And you say they lived in caves and they were ignorant and all they could do is utter animal-like sounds? No, God created man upright. God created man with an understanding. He imparted to him something of Himself, of an intelligence, of a knowledge. And I believe those times that the Lord communed with Adam, we don't know exactly how long that was, where the Lord's showing Adam, and I can just, Adam, come look at this. Adam, let me explain this to you. Adam, what do you want to call this creature? Imparted something of Himself to mankind. But sin. Sin began to work. Sin began to corrupt what God had given, began to corrupt the purity of it, the wholeness of it, and take what God wanted to be used and instead abused it, instead corrupted it, and it began to decay over time more and more. Let's turn now to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, and I'd like to read the 31st verse. 1 Corinthians 7 and 31, "And they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away." They that use this world. You know, there are groups of people who, not to speak disparagingly of them, Scripture condemns their spiritual teachings, but there are those who say, you know what, we miss the simplicity of the older days. We miss the times gone by. Let's forget the electricity, forget the automobiles, forget the internet, forget all these things that have come about. Let's go back to simpler times. And you know, there's something, I don't know about you, but there's something almost of an appeal to it. You go and you visit those areas. We have a county, Holmes County here in Ohio, with a large population of such people, and it just seems relaxing, and you go and you see the way that they live. You know the Scripture, and they look at it and say, we don't want to use this world. We're going to keep to ourselves and isolate ourselves from the world that's around. We don't want to pipe in the electricity and use the automobiles and all of those things. But I want to show you today, by the help of the Lord, a better way. The Lord who has created this world. The Lord that has given mankind the ability, the awesome ability. He said nothing will be restrained. So he began to put some boundaries on them. The things that mankind has been able to develop and to create. You know, the Lord is not calling us to a commune somewhere. The Lord is not calling us to go live out in the desert somewhere and say, I'm going to live as I imagine Adam and Eve did, and I'm not gonna accept nothing of technology or these ways. And so maybe the cotton shirts that we wear, well, they didn't know how probably to weave and to sew, the Lord's not calling us to a place of a commune hidden away, isolated from the things of this world. Now follow me here. He said, as those that use this world, the word use in the Greek, it means just about what we understand it as, to employ, to make use of, to take advantage of the benefit of a thing. Those that use it as not abusing it. You'll notice the words are very similar. Using or abusing. There's just this one little prefix, abuse. And such it is in the Greek as well. The Greek word, it says, kraomahi, and you add to the beginning of it, kata, means to abuse. You can use a thing, but you can also turn what God intended to be beneficial and helpful and useful, and that thing can be turned and abused to our destruction, that very same thing. So the Lord has called us. He said, I pray not, Jesus praying to the Father, I don't pray that you remove them from the world, but I pray that you keep them from the evil of the world. I pray that you preserve them from the evil of the world. So whenever I suggest to us today that the Lord is not forbidding us to use this world, I want you to understand what I'm saying. There are some things that mankind invents and creates after the sinfulness of their hearts to gratify their sinful pleasures and indulgences that the Lord says have nothing to do with that. Don't go close to that thing. That thing is of the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Don't set your heart on that thing. If there's something that is created or invented or made available to you that exalts itself above God and His ways, something that begins to move you away from the precepts of godliness, get away from it. Don't touch it. Don't go there. The Scripture says, prove all things. Lord, give us discernment and understanding. It is essential to our survival. Essential to our spiritual survival for us to prove all things. It means for me in my life, Lord, give me discernment. Lord, give me understanding to know, Lord, is this wholesome for me? Lord, is this giving me spiritual life? Or is this something that's draining my spirituality? I want to prove it. That means I don't want to just take it at face value. I can't afford to just look at something and say, that seems harmless enough. Lord, help me to prove it. Help me to poke at it, to prod it, to see, Lord, is this thing of you? Lord, could this be used for your benefit? Or Lord, is there some danger here that I need to be aware of, that I need to be on the lookout for, that the enemy would be trying to use to his advantage? Using this world, but not abusing it. I want us to hold on to that thought. Let's consider in the 12th chapter of Luke. Luke chapter 12 and 16th verse. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. So I want us to consider, was there anything wrong with him growing crops? Was there anything wrong with him doing it in such a way that I want to get the best yield possible out of this crop? I'm going to do everything that I have understanding to do so that the weeds are under control, so that it grows the best in the right season, in the right time. Isn't that why we grow crops? I want to be able to get the benefit and the advantage of it. I want to get the most that I can out of it. So it wasn't that the Lord was condemning. Is there anything wrong with having a barn? Saying, I want to have a place that I can be a good steward of what the Lord has blessed me with. That I won't just leave it outside to rot and to spoil and be destroyed with the elements. I want to take care of it. Is there anything wrong with that? But I want to remind us, like in the instance of the Tower of Babel, if you read through this, I believe it's 11 times where he said, I, me. He began to remove God from the picture. He began, and his foolish heart began to be darkened. There wasn't anything wrong with using those things in a proper place, in having them in their proper place in his life. But whenever he began to move outside the boundaries of what was proper and in its proper place, it's called abusing it. He didn't use it to the glory of God. He didn't use it to feed and for God's purposes. He began to abuse it for his own foolish purposes. You know, the enemy has so many ways in which he'd like for us to do the same thing in our lives. Where he'd like for us to, through the development technologies of today, that which can be a great benefit to us, that he wants to take outside of the proper boundaries and use it to abuse. Tower of Babel. You know, we have a modern day tower today. We refer to times in the past, or sometimes you'll read it referred to as the Stone Age, the Brass Age, or the Iron Age, all these different ages that are characterized by what they believe or what they see of the tools that are in the ground, that they utilize stones or they utilize this certain kind of metal. And so we call it that age that they lived in. We don't live in the Stone Age. We live in the Information Age. We live in a time today that many of us... Well, I read Forbes, I believe, published a study. It said the average adult today consumes 5 times more information each day than their predecessors only 50 years ago. That means in many of our lifetimes, more information that's made available to us in one day, five times more than what was available to those 50 years ago. If you go back even further yet, we have more information available to us in our hand in a few moments. More information available to us that people in the past have had access to in an entire lifetime. In an entire lifetime of information where they'd receive a newspaper and they'd hold on to that and treasure that and read it over and over and over again, and that all the information they could get was contained within those few pages. Maybe a family had one or two books, and they would learn and read that book over and over, those that, and learn how to read to the point that they just about had to memorize. That's all the information that they had available unto them. And yet we in our time, in our dispensation, in our age, in an information age, where you can pull up in just a few moments just about every book that's been written. Many books that have been written, many works, many newspapers. You can take the archives of many public newspapers going back decades. You can take the Faith and Victory going back decades, and I can pull up in just a moment by a few clicks and do a search to see what anybody over the last 100+ years has had to say. And it's right there at a touch. Right there made available at my fingertips to be able to look at the chronicles and the archives of history. Do you know that there have been societies and civilizations in the past that lived all their lives, all of their civilization, never knowing of the existence of other civilizations in the world? There have been people who have lived that have never known what the face of the earth looked like, that have never known how big the world was, have never known of the other continents and the other nations, the other languages that were spoken in the world, tracing back to what we read in the book of Genesis, where the Lord confounded their language and they began to disperse throughout the face of the earth, every man after his clan, his language, and began to scatter abroad across the earth. Many changes, many rapid developments. And I don't mean a gradual progression over the last 2,000 years where mankind has gradually developed more and more information. I'm talking about an explosion in the last, you put a time frame on it, in the last 50 years, 30 years, 10 years, an explosion of information and technology that's made available to us, where I can go and read the history of the world. I can go and I can say, I need to replace an alternator on my car. Show me how. And in just a few beep, 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 I can have a video showing me how to replace the alternator in my car. Where I can go and say, I don't know this. Siri, Alexa, would you tell me the answer to this? Would you tell me what day Abraham Lincoln was born? I need it for a research report. I don't have to go down to the library. I don't have to go find the, what was it? It's been so long since the Dewey Decimal System, I think, where you had to go and figure out where your books were, and you had to go pull out the dusty volume and flip through it and find and read through all the information. You didn't walk into a library, push a button, do a search, and there it was in the page. And by the way, if you're too lazy to read it, we'll read it for you. That's not the way that it was then. You had to go and apply yourself and put forth some effort. And if there was something I didn't know, I just didn't know it. I had to go find somebody that did know. I had to go ask somebody with more experience. I don't know the answer to this. I don't know how this works. I'm a curious kind of person in many ways. It's one reason why I was interested in the occupation that I am. How's that thing made? How's a plastic water bottle made? How's it formed and manufactured? I don't know. I've never seen it done. But you know now, how's a plastic bottle manufactured? And so much information right at our fingertips, available, quick, easy. Technology has been changing very rapidly. And I hope by the foundation we've tried to lay that you understand the message is not against technology. The message is not against the understanding that God has given mankind to be able to develop something that gives us an advantage, or that helps us, that can cool the air when we're in a building like this, can give us lights so we can have service at nighttime, whatever it is. It's not technology, but it's to have a discernment and understanding of our times, to know how to use a thing and not abuse it. To know how to get the advantage of a thing where advantage may be gotten, and not allow the enemy to hijack it for his own purposes. There are Wikipedia. If you want to know anything about anything, Wikipedia is there to tell you the background and the information and the facts, but it's crowdsourced. In other words, it comes from, the source of that is from a lot of different people who say, hey, I know something about that. I'll go edit this. You can go edit something. You can go change something that's on this encyclopedia. What was before considered as published, it's authoritative. Now it's something that it's accessible, it's easy, it's ready for us to access. And it's easy to mistake truth. Mistake people's opinion for truth. We can take and Google my symptoms. Got a pain in my right side. You ever try that? It'll about have you wanting to call your family in. Of all this, but information is right there. At our fingertips, accessible unto us. Now I want to tie all this back to the tower. There's nothing wrong with building brick upon brick. Nothing wrong with building a tower. But as mankind in all of their efforts began to exalt themselves, began to get into a place that they started to think, we don't need God. We don't, you know, that's kind of back in the dark ages. Those people, the only reason they worship God is because they didn't know any better. It was those flat earthers that didn't understand anything, and because they were superstitious and all, but we've advanced beyond that now. We're intelligent and we're far advanced in our reasoning and in our logic. There's a problem with it. It begins to remove God more and more out of people's minds, out of their thoughts, out of their hearts, and it's what the enemy is trying to do in 2019. The enemy is trying to use all these things that mankind has developed, and he's trying to use it to remove man more and more, society more and more, distanced more and more from a knowledge and an understanding of who God is. So much information at our fingertips, and yet what's it doing for us? What's it doing for us? Folks, again, it's not the technology. I'm thankful for many of the things that have been made available unto us. But it's for us to understand what's the proper use of these things. Mankind, can we say, as society as a general, in general, maybe advanced in the kind of transportation we have, the modes of communication, but whenever I think about what matters the most, are we advanced? Do we have any better understanding? You remember back there, the scripture read in 1 Corinthians 7 and 31, those that use the world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passes away. Having a proper reckoning of what's truly important, a proper understanding of God, of who He is. In this tower of information that's being built today, folks, the enemy wants to begin substituting our dependence on God. He wants to begin, and it can happen so subtly. Little by little, the enemy wants to begin undermining our faith in God, our trust in God, where I can get to a place where I feel like I've got the resources at my fingertips. I can research, I can Google, or if I'm not interested in medication, I can go research and find something that does the same thing. That research, the information is right there at my fingertips, and I can begin to feel as the world intends for us to. Empowered. You're empowered. You've got the power. You've got the ability. Don't depend on others. Rise up for yourself and have this within your ability, within your fingertips. You remember the time the children of Israel began to say, "We want a king." They went out to battle and the enemy came against them with his king in the foreground. And they came back from that battle saying, and there's more to the story. You can read Samuel's sons were having some problems and it opened the door for this. But they began to say, "We want a king like they have. We want a king that can go out before us to battle, that can go and represent us in his strength, and they can look on and recognize here's the figurehead of our strength and our might, that can go toe to toe with the kings of the other nations, so to speak." But we read in 1 Samuel 12 and 12, Samuel in agony of spirit, he said, "The Lord your God, he was your king." You know, they began looking for a substitute for their king. They began putting their trust in something else. And it's what, if we're not careful, that the enemy would like to do with us. In our time, this is, I pray, a message for our generation, for our time. The Word of God is relevant and applicable to every time throughout the world. Our society is grappling with problems today, trying to figure out the solutions, trying to get the brightest minds together to say, how do we fix the ills of our world? And many times it's more of the very thing that got them into the trouble in the first place. More of man's reasonings, more of man's answers. That's not what a nation needs. Every nation that forgets God is turned into hell. But those who will cry out for mercy and call upon His name, the Lord will be merciful too. We see a generation of children growing up who have been the product of the technology that's been given to us. And may I go further than that to say the abuse of technology that's made available to us. Teachers who are grappling with a problem. How do I hold a child's attention span? How do I get a child to focus? They're so accustomed to having something flashing in front of their eyes all the time, hour after hour after hour after hour. There have been many studies that have been done on the effects, or are being done on the effects, of screen time, the effects of the use or the overuse of technology, and the way it can affect a child's, and not just a child's, a person's ability to focus. Where we have notifications, we have something that pops up or you feel a vibration, and I don't want to make an assumption of how you react to those, but if your phone's sitting on you next to you on the table and you hear a vibration, what's your tendency? You see, something popped up. Oh, what? Oh, here's a headline here, an update. And it's to a point, with the focus of technology being more and more ease of accessibility and user ease and making it convenient for you. Those things can make it to where we get into a mode where we can't even be still. We can't even focus. We can't even shut things out, distractions out for a little while. And our world is in a point where this has got to be fed. It's not me saying it, it's studies that show, and actually even apps that are advertised as being highly addictive. You get onto this and you get into a star spinning and it'll be highly addictive. You won't be able to set your device down. You'll be going back and having to check for more and more. And it is for us in our day to say, "Lord, what's the proper use? Lord, how do we not abuse what's made available to us?" Because there are risks and there are threats. I can get into a place, they talk about ADD or ADHD, and how did this happen and how did this come about? It's not my desire to dive into that, but want us to realize that there's a spirituality deficit disorder in our world today. A place where people can't focus, can't tune out the noise and the distractions around them, and it can even get close to home. Where I have a hard time, whenever it comes time to seek the Lord and to pray and to take time. I believe Sister Lois mentioned earlier, take time to be holy, the song says. We've got to have a place with the Lord where I can shut out the notifications. I can shut out the vibration. I can shut out the distractions. And as the scripture says, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly unto them. It can begin to distract us. Jesus said, the thief cometh not before to steal, to kill, and to destroy. There's a thief of our time. The enemy, every one of us have the same amount of time in every day. 24 hours of it that the Lord's given us. You know, the enemy wants to rob as much of that time away as he can. You ever heard the saying, running out the clock? Whenever you have a team that's maybe up basketball or whatever, maybe they're up by a point, they want to just run out the clock. We want to keep possession of the ball, and we're just going to kind of waste time here and run out the clock until the buzzer sounds and there's no more time and the losing team's at a disadvantage. The enemy wants to get us into a place where he runs out the clock. Have you ever found yourself in a place like that? You get to the end of a day and you say, what did I really get done today? And if you ask somebody many times today, well, how have you been? Oh, busy, busy, busy. Always busy. You know that our world today is going to see to it that we're busy. It doesn't matter if we have a job or not. It doesn't matter what situation of life we're in. The enemy is going to make sure that we're busy. The enemy, and there are so many distractions at his disposal to be able to use this, being just one of many that the enemy would like to distract and to become the thief of time, using but not abusing it. I'll tell you that we use social media to an extent. Katrina and I have a page, have one for the congregation, mission work, things like that. But I want to warn you, it's easy to abuse. It's easy to take something that can be used for benefit, that can be used in a good way, and the enemy hijack that thing so quickly for purposes and means of his own. And even if he doesn't take it down a dark path, the enemy will, as a thief of time, come and little by little, the clock's going around. And that of eternal value, I've spent little time with. In recognition of the time that people are spending on their phones, on average today, it's an adult for an adult, it's 11 hours per day. On average, that an adult spends looking at a screen. Now that includes computers at work or whatnot, 11 hours. So there are phone manufacturers that have started doing things like screen time. You can go back and look at how much time you spend on your phone. And it can be shocking. If we had a little reminder called Bible time, little reminder called devotion and prayer time, just want to challenge us, how would it stack up? Social media time, devotion time. You know, the Lord wants us to be very careful in our lives, using this world, those things that can be used, that the Lord says, as we prove it out and can be used in the proper way, don't abuse it. That we not allow it to be taken to the place that it's abused. Of all the information available to us, you know, if we're not careful, we can bleed into our spiritual life in those same ways. Information that's ready and accessible to us. Jesus said, search the scriptures. You know, I could just Google, what does the scripture mean? I could look at, and there are commentaries I'll reference from time to time, but I can look at, it's a lot easier to just say, what does man say? What does somebody say this means? Just give it to me. I want it just given to me, and I want it easy, and I want it fast. You know, there's religious groups that have taken advantage of that. It's easier to just go to a man and say, just tell me what I need to do. Just tell me the rules. Just tell me what I can and can't do. And the Lord's saying, spend time. Take time to get to know me. Take time to know my voice. Take time to learn the sound of my voice for yourself. It takes time. I'm not going to be able to get it with 2 minutes a day in a devotional to really get to know the Lord. Take time to be holy. Meditate upon these things, the scripture says. The thief cometh to steal. I read a study that said the mind can process only 120 bits per second. Pieces of information per second. I don't know how all that works and fits in, but what I take away from that is that our minds can only process so much. If you think of it as a cup, and that cup can only hold so much in a day, what are we putting in the cup? I'd like to go to another scripture now in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Try not to be much longer. 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. The 23rd verse says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. You know, this goes beyond legalism. It goes beyond do's and don'ts. It goes beyond going to a preacher and saying, just tell me. There's something more than that. A relationship I need to have with the Lord. Time that I spend with Him. Drawing, Lord, is this expedient for me? In other words, does it give me a benefit, an advantage spiritually? Or is it robbing me of my spirituality? Am I developing spirituality deficit disorder? Am I in a place where I can't focus on your word? Where I've been cramming so much into this cup? Maybe it's not sinful thoughts. Not sinful information I've been cramming in the cup. But you know, I can take useless information and I can fill that cup to the top with useless information. I was told you I'm a bit of a curious nature. I was in a hotel. You ever seen on the back of the hotel door, maximum rate, $600 or never pay that. Well, I wondered, what is that? I've seen it over and over. As I mentioned, there was a time where you just go throughout life not knowing something. You can Google and find out, why do they post a ridiculously high price on the back of a door? You know what that's it? That is useless information. And I can fill my mind up with useless information if I'm not careful. And it can get into a place, information. Your mind's trying to digest that. Your mind's trying to do something with it. And where, whenever it's time to take out the Bible and look into the Word of God, my mind is still going so fast about the price on hotel doors and all this other useless information that I put into the cup. Lord, help us not to abuse those things. Not to take that which may be lawful. That I can say, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with playing this game. There's nothing wrong with spending a little. But don't take it to the point of excess. The scripture says, let your moderation be known unto all men. Lord, help us to know how to use something and not abuse it. The scripture tells us, in Ephesians 5 and 18, be not drunk with wine. Shifting gears just a little bit now. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. Riotous living. Where is it? You know, they call it liquid courage. You get the courage to do things and to say things that you wouldn't have done or said otherwise. You know, this tower that mankind is erecting is to be a replacement for God. The Lord's the one that gives courage. The Lord's the one that says, be strong and of a strong heart and be courageous. The courage that the Lord gives. The faith that the Lord gives in Him. There can be a place where I've got a void in my life where the enemy offers a substitute that's just empty filler. Where I feel in the morning that my cup is empty and the enemy is saying, here's some information you can put in it. Here's something you can put in it. Spend some time doing this. And it can leave me at the end of the day feeling empty. I've wasted my time. I've not done anything of spiritual value, anything for the Lord. Is it expedient? How's my spirituality? The things that I'm partaking of in my life, is it adding to my spirituality or is it sapping it, my spiritual strength away. Wherein is excess? But it says, but be filled rather with the Spirit. You know, this world turns to alcohol for pleasure. I've been saddened to see how people can't even go to a cookout. Can't even go have a picnic. You can't even go somewhere out in any place out in nature and just have a good, enjoyable time. I've got to take alcohol. I've got to have something to give me something. To give me some pleasure. To give me some joy. To give me a little something to dull the edge a little bit. You know, it's a substitute for what the Lord wants to give. It says, don't be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Let the Spirit do for you what all those other things are trying to do. May we say yes in alcohol and substances? Do you know when we get stressed, we can turn to food. We can turn to things that just deal with my stress. And the Lord's saying, I want to teach you some moderation. Me. I want to teach you how to use something and not abuse it. How to keep things in their proper boundaries in your life. To be filled with the Spirit. Oh, to let Him bring the joy. To let Him bring the fulfillment. To let Him bring the satisfaction. He'll do it. If we'll turn to Him. If we'll fill our hearts and our minds. The Scripture says, that will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Thee. I want to encourage us today that we find that still and quiet place alone with the Lord. That we be able to shut out the noise and the distractions of things around us. Thank the Lord for the benefit, the advantage that we've been able to enjoy of those things that are lawful. But may we not cross over the line to what's not expedient in our lives. And the Lord is faithful. The Lord will teach us, if we're of an honest and an open heart, Lord, I want to please You. Lord, I want to do only those things that are pleasing to the Father. Lord, I want to spend my time on that which gives me spiritual benefit, that which edifies me. And I believe it's good for us from time to time. And I'm talking a lot about technology. It can be a crossword puzzle. It can be whatever it might be that just fills my mind. It's what entertainment is. And I'm not preaching against entertainment in and of itself. Going and working a puzzle or playing a game together, something like that. But it is for us to understand that even those things, while lawful, can get out of their proper bounds. Can begin to fill too big of a space and begin to replace something that the Lord wants to fill in our lives. May the Lord help us today that we be able to use but not abuse those things that are available at our fingers. You pray for me. Amen. Yeah.